Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. So back in the studio with me is Nicole Fenstead for her second session. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Nancy.
Oh, we had so much fun in our first time around, and your adventurous spirit. I mean, bringing you to New York and having giving yourself 5 hours, you know, to get a job.
Right.
And that included also, you know, a flight being canceled. But
right.
I was just mesmerized by how resourceful you are, and just having that, like, it never occurred to you that this wouldn't work out.
Right.
And even though you didn't get your part in Bell, you
right.
ended up on a cruise ship for,
yeah.
what, 9 months?
Yep.
Something like that. So what did your parents think after you told them that you got this cruise job?
I mean, goodness, God bless them. I mean, they are always so supportive, but I think they were probably just as stunned as I was to get a job after being in New York for just, you know, 5 or 6 hours. So, yeah, they are quite supportive, and, you know, they were happy for me. So,
absolutely. And so you ventured over to Utah, and then you came back to New York,
yep.
and then a fire in your apartment kind of led you to, like, reevaluate your life.
Exactly.
And you decided to come to back to Minnesota.
I did.
We consider, like, Fargo, North Dakota,
yeah.
kind of Minnesota too.
Yes. Well, I always knew that I wanted to live in Minnesota. I grew up going to Chanhassen Dinner Theater and
okay.
seeing the shows there. So I knew that this was the area I wanted to be. I had a brother that went to St. Thomas. And so it was easy for me to just live with him for a while until I got my feet wet, which turned out to be 6 years of living together. But yeah, it was great. I moved here in 2006. And I ended up auditioning for my first show at Chanhassen, Greece. I didn't get it. But I got called a week before rehearsals started because the girl that played Frenchie was going to be a finalist in American Idol.
Oh, my gosh.
So she dropped out, and then they asked me to join the cast. So that was very, very exciting for me.
Like,
one,
luck is on your side.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
One, I'd always wanted to work there. Mm. And two, to get a job, you know, where I was living was just an anomaly for me because I'd always gotten jobs away from New York. You know, mm-hmm. I lived in New York, but basically it's where I repacked my bags to go somewhere else. So I traveled
see.
So much
mm.
that it was nice. Like, wow, at the end of the show, I get to go home to my bed. That is exciting.
Yeah.
So I did that show at Chan for, I think, 4 or 5 months. Really fun. And then, yep, was able to work for about the first 4 or 5 years pretty, you know, consistently off and on being an actor at Chanhassen. And, oh, I worked at the Pantages Theater downtown. We did Grease as well. I see up down to Grease a lot of times.
Yeah.
So that was really, really great.
Well, it sounds like with different, I mean, even if you're doing the same show and you're very familiar with it, the fact that you were able to play the different characters and be with a different cast of people in different places must have really kept it kind of exciting.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
It's always a little bit different, you know, depending where you are geographically and then also your cast and the theater you're working at. So, yeah, it was really, really fun, and just a dream come true to work at Chanhassen Dinner Theater. It was a place I'd always wanted to work.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so it sounds like you've got some really good survival skills too, where you're able to kind of plug yourself in any disappointment, something else seems to turn out. Do you kind of do some visualization ahead of time? Is there a method that you use?
Wow.
To kind of attract what you want in your life?
I mean, I think I do have an overall great sense of trust in whatever's
you trust
to
you'll
happen.
Land on your feet.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that maybe it's not my plan, but it's God's plan, but it's what I'm meant to do.
Yeah.
And that's always kind of helped me.
Sure.
In it.
Be your kind of guiding. And is that a way that you overcome obstacles as well?
I think so. I mean, I get disappointed just like anyone else if I don't get a show or if, you know, something happens where it's disappointing for some reason. But then if you take those moments to look at your life, at your other disappointments, and you think, oh, now I know why I didn't get that show, because I was supposed to do this or because I was supposed to do that. And even when I was working in New York, thinking, why am I working this office job all day and I have other people touring and doing other jobs when I wasn't working, I was learning the skill of event planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what I have fallen into right now, or have chosen, or it's been chosen for me, maybe.
Yes, that leads right into founding the Princess Party Pals. Mm-hmm. What year did you found
it? So I started it in 2006 in the summer, kind of on a whim. The seed was planted for me back in 1998 when I had met a friend whose mom ran a dance studio in Washington, D.C. We were on tour together doing Greece in Brazil, and she had a princess party business that she did as well as her dance studio. So she would dress up like a fairy godmother, and yeah. She would do thematic birthday parties. They could be princess, they could be other characters or themes, and she would every once in a while hire her daughter and I to come down from New York to help her with the parties. And we would do more of the performing at the parties.
Sure.
So I got a really good vantage point of the kind of impact that that made on kids, and just what a magical experience it was. And you still got to perform. And even when I was younger, I was always interested and wanted to do something with kids, like whether it was like when I was a little, child psychiatry, or I wanted to also be a kindergarten teacher at one point. Mm-hmm. And I went back to school even back in like 1996, I think, to start getting an education degree. I never finished it because I felt the acting bug come back. So, but that was always there for me. And so after, that was back in 1998 that I saw the impact that doing those princess parties had. And that's where I thought, this is really kind of a cool thing. But I didn't really pay any more attention to that until after I left New York. And one summer when I came back, I had some theater lined up in North Carolina. I was doing a show, and my parents had given me some birthday money, and I hadn't spent it yet. And I remember I was shopping at like a Walmart or Kmart or one of those stores, and I saw all these discounted Cinderella costumes. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take this $300 and I'm going to invest it in a bunch of costumes, and I'm going to do princess parties. I decided like right in the middle of Walmart that I was just going to do princess in the Cinderella aisle. I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, that's how sometimes
the business was born. Yeah,
it just strikes me that this is what I'm going to do. So I bought the costumes. I bought one online. I called one of my best friends, Doug. He has like 10 or 12 nieces and nephews in Sauk Center, Minnesota. And I said, hey, I'm moving back to Minneapolis. I want to start this business. Can I practice on your nieces and nephews? He's like, yeah, sure. So we plan a party, and I just started practicing. I thought it was really fun. I had them take a bunch of pictures. I made like business cards up, and I did the old adage is fake it till you make it. I just acted like this is what I do.
Yeah.
I do it. Yeah, oh yeah, I've been doing this for a while. Yeah, I do princess parties. And then you talk about it to everyone you know. So of course, I'm at the hair salon getting my hair done, and I'm, you know, telling my stylist that I do princess parties, And
which is where we met.
Which is where we met. So much happens at the salon, doesn't it?
Exactly. Stephen Adams at Moxie.
I know.
Yes.
This is before my Stephen days even, but
okay, yeah.
Eventually, my stylist talked to his manager, and the manager came over and said, "Hey, I heard you do princess parties. I have, you know, twins that are in kindergarten, and we'd, you know, love to have like Cinderella come to the kindergarten birthday party." And he had a son and a daughter. So they were going to have like Superman and a magician. I mean, they went all out. It was at Interlochen Country Club. It was the whole kindergarten class was there. Like, it was kind of major. And he's like, "Yeah, like, could we even have Snow White come?" And I said, "Yeah, of course." I mean, I get a costume later. Just say yes now and do it all later.
So right.
I was like, "Sure, no problem." So, it's like, "Great, do you need like a down payment for the, for, you know, the costumes?" I'm like, "Mm-hmm, yep." "I do." I'm like, "Okay." And then I have to create a contract, like make it up, look online, figure out what people are doing. So that was, you know, my first one. And then I started to do a few free things here and there to get a little exposure. You know, did like some story times at my church, at the gym, started to donate them for kids, you know, kids' auctions or fundraisers for their school. Sure. I started to do that. And the thing that really, really launched me was I did a Groupon type of special with a, let's see, it was a website called Plum District. And I believe it was moms created this website, and it was moms for moms. So moms would recommend different things. So I was part of like a birthday week of things that you could do for a birthday week. And so I offered discounted parties.
Okay.
But I sold them in a mass quantity.
Yeah.
And I think it ran for 4 days, and I think I booked like 100 of them.
Oh my gosh.
So that was great, and it kept me busy. I mean, financially, it wasn't like super, I didn't make a ton of money off of it because you had to discount them and then pay them out, but that's where I got the most exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And so the years after that is where I really could tap into the my new kind of subscription base.
Sure, sure. And so financially, how were you able to, were you able to support yourself from that point forward?
From that point forward, yes.
So in 2006.
Well, no, because I did theater for about the first 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
So it wasn't probably until about 2010 or 2011 that it took about 5 years for me to really get kind it off the ground.
Okay, so things in the works. Mm-hmm. So like you started getting your costumes.
Yeah, and supplies and everything. Supplies,
okay.
So
your business concept, you were getting down and trying it out and okay. We met What's the date that you registered with the state?
Probably either 2007, I think. So it was right away. I think I did my first like practice parties the fall of 2006 and then realized that this is what I want to do. And I think in 2008, I got a website and, you know, that really helped me as well.
Okay. And then you did the Groupon coupons and and so then by 2010, you were really supporting yourself well.
So I was doing, you know, anywhere between like 100 and 200 parties a year. And now I do like between 3 and 350 a year.
Wow, that's a lot of parties. And you just finished a few, like a month ago, a Lollapalooza event?
Yeah, a Princess Party Palooza. So
there we
I
go.
Did an event at Chanhassen Dinner Theater. I rented space there and hired 9 other princesses to just create a really enchanting, magical experience for kids. We did a big VIP luncheon, and I loved using Chanhassen Dinner Theater because it was like, you know, the first place that I worked when I was here. So,
well, yeah,
it's such a special place.
Yes.
And I've, you know, just fond memories of being there, and it's theatrical and I thought it was really neat. So we did like a big kind of VIP lunch with the princesses for kids for the first hour. And then I had a DJ come and we moved to another space and did dancing and a craft and a photo booth. And then, you know, any of the princesses that I hire, I always hire professional people that I typically know in the theater that I know are, you know, high quality, first class entertainment. Because I think it's a great experience for parents too, that, you know, a kid might not be able to decipher if someone is, you know, talented and good. But, you know, I think parents do. And I definitely pride myself on the type of quality that I put out there.
Well, and, you know, if you go to Disneyland, I mean, that's what you're disappointed about. You don't get more time with the princess.
Right, exactly.
Right? So with a princess party, I mean, you know, you're bringing Belle to
right
them.
Right to her house. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
What were the biggest lessons that you learned from the Princess Party Palooza?
Oh, wow. So many things. I've done this event twice now. So the first time, you just don't know anything. You just kind of take darts and you throw them and you're like, what's going to work? What's not going to work? The venue is great and theatrical, but there's also a lot of stairs and it was kind of some congestion with things that I did. So I definitely learned that I needed to have my activities spread out a little bit more.
Yeah.
I learned that it's a ton of work mm-hmm. on your own. And yeah. that I need to definitely have people help me as a team. I mean, my family helped me. My friends helped me. I hired people. And to not be afraid to hire other people. And it's okay to delegate and to have people do things for you. It's going to save your mind a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's just a great sense of pride in producing something like that. Like,
yeah.
I remember it was the end of the day and the photo booth, a great photo booth guy was putting all our stuff away. And I said, oh, did I miss a picture? And he's like, nope. He's like, you're the boss. I can pull it back out. And I was like, yeah, I am the boss. I was like, you're right. I did pay you.
I did like, make this happen.
I just enjoyed that moment for a minute. I was like, great. Okay. I did pay you. Good.
Yeah.
So
right.
Anyway, it was yeah. fun. But I also learned that I don't need to do that for a while. You know, I have some other competition that's doing those sort of things, and I think it pushed me. I'm like, well, if they're doing it, I need to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? You don't need to do that, but I know I can do that. Again, like, I like the challenge when yeah. I see other people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So just because someone else is doing it and they're your competition doesn't mean you have to jump on that bandwagon as well.
Sure.
Like, I have my own niche for things. Even though, you know, I'm a small business and I typically work alone right now, mm-hmm. you know, eventually that will change. But to also just be confident in what you do and know your niche of it and not worry about what other people are doing. Because I can drive myself crazy by, like, worrying about what
my... If you get too obsessed with the competition.
And I can. And yeah. then I just get yucky inside and I feel like, wait, I want to be the best or am I not good enough or are they hiring these people more and they're undercutting my prices? I'm like, you know what? Your value speaks for itself. You're really busy. Relax.
Yeah. And just keep doing what's working.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, that sounds, too, like a great way to kind of rejuvenate yourself.
Right.
So how did you recover after your Princess Party Palooza?
Oh, gosh. Honestly, I didn't have a ton of recovery because I had a big week, actually a big month of new characters and new parties. So typically, I'm known to do princesses.
Mm-hmm.
But I have really been expanding my vision of my company, and I have been doing... And this has been nudges from my clients. I have incredibly supportive, loyal clients that have a ton of faith in me that will say, hey, could you do a Taylor Swift party? Could you do a Harry Potter party? Mm-hmm. And at first I'm like, ooh, sick to my stomach. I don't know if I can do that. And then I'm like, yes, I can do that. I'm up for the challenge. And I feel honored that they would trust me enough to like...
Yeah.
They're not like, oh, can I see pictures of what you've done before? They're like, Nicole, here, could you do this? And I do it.
So was the Taylor Swift party, like, is that in the same age group that you've been working with? Or was it some older?
You know, you would think it would be more of the older kids. But yeah. everyone I've done it for has been like 6 or 7.
Okay.
So, which I think is just cute and sweet.
Yeah.
But I thought it might be more of a draw for older kids.
Yeah.
But it's been, and maybe that's okay because, you know, they still really believe that you're Taylor Swift. And maybe the older kids would be like,
they don't have that imagination.
You know what I mean? And that's what I love about like 5, 6, 7. Like they believe because they want to believe.
Yeah.
You know, I did a Mulan party for a little girl. I mean, I don't look Asian at all. And I mean, I don't look Asian. And I said, then I've done like 4 or 5 parties for this client. And I said, are you sure you want me to do Mulan? I was like, I'm not Asian at all. She's like, I know, but they're studying China. And, you know, she really wants you to come. Okay, so, you know, I get the kimono and I get the black eyeliner on and I get there and she's like introducing me to her friends as the real Mulan. Like she thinks I'm Mulan, even though she's seen me as she sold it.
but that's the beauty of that age group.
I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, and I love that, you know, 4, 5, 6 is just the sweetest, most precious age.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and it, I like the way you've tied together kind of your loves, you know, a little psychology, the age group, you know, the kindergartner, first grade group, that you would have taught, but, you know, with the acting bug, plus you get to bring in all your creativity and make it really fun. And it sounds like you really, you know, make it fun for the parents as well.
Yeah, I definitely like parents to have that magical experience as well and witness it through the eyes of their kids.
Yes.
And so I always encourage like parents, stay for the, I'm a performer. Like I perform the whole time. I don't just, you know, when you turn my back, it's an experience that I like to bring to them.
Well, and it sounds like you really capture the character you're playing.
I think it's important.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yes. So it sounds like you're expanding your vision based on customer requests, which is always, you know, to keep your eye on what the customer needs and grow in transition with how the customer is needing the services provided.
Right.
Terrific. So is there anything else that you... would like to share with our listeners before we finish out our second session?
Gosh. I think it's important to bloom where you're planted. And that's when I'm mentoring people or talking to high school kids or young kids about doing theater, if they say, do you have any words of wisdom or words of advice? And to just take advantage of all that you have wherever you're at, you know, whether it's dance or theater or music or sports or, you know, educational type things, but to really just take advantage of the things that are right in front of you.
Oh, excellent advice. Well, thank you so much. I can see how you've bloomed where you've been planted. Well, continue blossoming and we'll check in with you at another date.
Thanks
so much. Thanks, Mike Cabea, my sound engineer, always right here listening with us. All right, we'll see you next Monday.